Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. Hope you're all doing good out there. Listen, if you want to support the show, go over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. You can get all the episodes there. But make sure you like, you share, you comment on any of the content, any of the videos, this video. Get the show over on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leave a review, 5-star review. Help me beat the conservative hating algorithms out there. So, all right. So it seems as though if you're a free, concerned American citizen, or a parent of a child in the public school system, or I like to call the public indoctrination system, and you protest or dissent against the narrative of the federal government, the local state government, you're now labeled as a domestic terrorist. You're labeled as a threat. And it's just, it's really unbelievable how now with all of the nonsense, the bullshit that's going on in the public school system with the critical race theory, the identity politics, gender identity that they want to push on children at such young ages. I mean, you know, 4-year-olds. I've played videos in the past on episodes where schools in affluent neighborhoods, like in the New York City and Manhattan, where they're showing children videos about masturbation and drag queens in school and pronouns, asking fourth graders what their pronouns are, what they want to be called. And little Harry wants to be little Sally, and he's 10 years old, and the school's going to support that. And, you know, we're going to teach kids to judge themselves and each other by the color of their skin, and to hate America. And if we disagree with that as parents and we show our opposition to the school board, we are now domestic terrorists. The National School Board Association decides they're going to send a letter to, I don't know if it was sent directly to the president or just to the attorney general. So they send a letter saying that they want parents who are going to protest to school boards against mask mandates, maybe vax mandates, and the teaching of critical race theory, that they should be looked at as a terrorist threat, a domestic terrorist threat. Imagine that. You don't like something that's going on in the school. There's a teacher that's sharing their opinions in the school, political ideologies, and you show up to the school board meeting and you say, hey, listen, I don't like this. I want it to stop. I want to know why it's happening. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you're raising your voice. Now you're a threat. Now, I get people get a little crazy when they're frustrated. Nobody should be threatening anybody. Nobody should be threatening violence, death threats, or any type of threat. That's not how you get things done. But now that the National School Board Association wrote this letter, the Attorney General Merrick Garland, he's a character in himself, and of course controlled by the Biden regime. That's how he got his job. he decides to put out a letter saying that he's going to mobilize the FBI, another heavily politicized organization back with J. Edgar Hoover days, that he's going to mobilize the FBI to investigate threats to school boards and coordinate with local and state law enforcement agencies to come up with a plan about dealing with frustrated parents whose fourth grader, they don't want to wear a mask or they don't want learning to hate themselves because of the color of their skin, or to hate their school peers, their classmates, because of the color of their skin, and to hate America, which the schools apparently now are all teaching under all sorts of different names, because critical race theory is a tainted term. In New York, there's something called DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's basically, it's critical race theory, that the police are bad, white privilege. It's disgusting. But now, because people are getting frustrated, people started getting frustrated this school year because they all, you know, everyone decided, well, all the kids have to wear masks now. Meanwhile, all summer long, nobody's wearing masks. Nobody's wearing masks in businesses. Nobody's wearing masks outside of the schools. But in order to go to school, you have to wear a mask. And you have to, in California now, they're mandating the vaccines for whatever it is, the ages 12 and up. That's going to be coming to New York soon, where I live, I'm sure. Our unelected governor, Kathleen Hochul, there's a bill sitting up in Albany now. They're probably going to vote on it, and the cover of night, it's going to go into law. And at some point, children in New York also will have to get the shot. She specifically said she wants that to be mandatory. And New York is a disgusting blue bubble, so that's coming around the corner. But yeah, so if you go to the school board and you get a little heated, there's a possibility you might be put on a list. You know, one of those bad person, you might be a terrorist lists with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Imagine you're at a school board meeting and you're having a heated conversation. You're giving remarks, you're frustrated, you're not threatening anybody, and a week goes by and maybe you get a knock on your door and there's an FBI agent at your door asking you questions about your activities at said school board meeting. All the school board meetings are recorded now because they have a Zoom option. Most of them are just recorded anyway now. So obviously, if there is any threats made and there's a crime committed, the local law enforcement agency is going to take care of that. You don't need the FBI putting anyone on a list, because then all of a sudden you're on a no-fly list. You're labeled as a possible domestic terrorist. What are they going to do? Are they now going to go around every pissed off parent that speaks at a school board? Are they going to round them all up and put them in a federal jail without bail? Because and label them as domestic terrorists like they did to the people who trespassed at the Capitol on January 6th. Is this the political thuggery that is now going to happen while the Biden regime is in power? Because people who push back or push against the narrative and the agenda of the federal government are a threat. They're going to be treated like a threat, and they're going to be put on a pedestal as a threat with the help of mainstream media, because the mainstream media will do whatever the Biden regime wants them to do. Whatever message needs to be spread with the leftist corporations that own mainstream legacy media, that will be spread. They keep calling January 6th an insurrection when it wasn't an insurrection. Over 600 people arrested for trespassing, and no one was charged with insurrection or sedition, but that's a whole other thing. Excuse me, we could talk about. So yeah, now the Department of Justice is just going to go after parents who are frustrated with school boards. So that, again, just shows that the Department of Justice, the FBI, which is no surprise, they're politicized agencies. There's nothing that could happen at a school board meeting that the FBI would have to be involved in. Every local law enforcement agency has, maybe they call them school resource officers, they call them a, they even have Homeland Security task force in these local police departments that deal with schools. If you make a threat of violence to somebody, no matter if they're a school board member or the school custodian, and it's a legitimate threat of violence, you could be arrested. You, whatever the charge is, there are laws in place for that. This is nothing more than intimidation, heavy intimidation by the government to scare parents, to scare those soccer moms into just shutting up and letting the agenda play on with critical race theory. Send your kid to school with masks. When the vax mandates come in, line up, get your shots like good little subordinates, like good little subjects, and you won't be labeled as a domestic terrorist. You won't be labeled as the problem. So they want to basically criminalize your frustrations and your right to protest. They want to just change the First Amendment. They should just change the First Amendment then to say that, well, you have the freedom of speech up until you don't, up until you oppose what's going on with what the federal government is mandating. Then at that point, you become a threat to the United States and you're a domestic terrorist. But when people and Democrats who walked into the public restroom and followed Senator Sinema into a public restroom, bullying her, recording her about passing the reconciliation bill, that's okay. That's not considered terrorism. That senator in a public bathroom, vulnerable, being recorded, people in there harassing her, that's okay. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden himself, when asked about it, said, well, that's part of the process. Unless you have Secret Service around you, that can happen. Now take that situation and imagine Nancy Pelosi over in at happy hour, sitting at the bar at the restaurant on her, you know, fourth or fifth cocktail. She walks into the bathroom and two Republicans decide to go in there and videotape her and badgering her about an infrastructure bill. Those two Republicans would most likely get visits to their home by either Capitol Police, Secret Service, maybe the FBI, possibly harassed, possibly arrested, possibly labeled as domestic terrorists on every single mainstream media news channel that these Republicans harassed the Speaker of the House in a public bathroom and videotaped her, asking her about her stance on a specific bill. That's what would happen. Because Republicans and conservatives are bad. You know, they're in that cult. What do they call it? The Trump Orange Man cult or whatever the hell they say. They still want to talk about Donald Trump like he's still there and the president of the United States just haunting their lives. He's not in the White House anymore. But it doesn't matter if you're a Republican and you voted for Donald Trump, you are a problem. We are the problem. But I don't see, I don't see this going to a place where it's just going to quell frustration. It's not. To take it to the school boards again. You have these school boards. So I'll talk about in my district where I live, the school boards, the members, the five elected members, they're empty suits. You go to a school board meeting, they sit there, they stare at you, they talk in circles, they don't answer your direct questions. And if they do, most of the time they answer it in a way where they're not, they're just saying a lot of words. It's like word salad and they're giving you no answers. They all bow down, like in New York where I am, they bow down to the state, which, you know, we have an unelected dictator. And they ignore parents. They don't return emails. They don't return phone calls. So what is the solution? What is the solution for parents who are completely frustrated with their school districts, with the teachers, and then you have the teachers' unions, the school board members who are elected? The school board members work for us. They work for us. We elect them. We also vote on the school budget. So what is our recourse as parents and taxpayers and voters? Well, we don't like the policy. We can change the names. We can vote new people into the school boards. And I've said this so many times in past episodes that it's really important now, more than ever, to get new people elected on these school boards, new people that will fight the states that they're in, fight the Department of Education, stand up for the parents and the children. What's our other recourse? Withdraw your child from the public school system. This is something that I never thought about doing up until this school year started. I did it. I pulled, going into fourth grade, we withdrew her. We put her in a homeschool co-op, and it is the best thing that we have done for our child. She goes 5 days a week to a homeschool co-op. There's probably 75, 100 kids, various grades. No masks. Nobody's getting sick. Nobody's testing positive for COVID. Nobody's dying. Kids are happy. They're learning. There's no issue. So, and I see more and more and more and more parents are withdrawing their kids from the public indoctrination systems. Unfortunately, you still have to pay your school taxes. And in most instances, you have to pay for the homeschool co-op if you're in a specific one. You can do homeschooling yourself. A lot of people don't have that luxury because they work one or two jobs because, you know, inflation's so high now. Thanks, Sleepy Joe. Product costs are up. Gas prices are up. Nobody's getting paid anymore. That's if even people can are going to work. But these homeschooling, I didn't realize how big of a community it was all over the country. Even where I am, it's a huge, huge, huge community. I mean, there's all kinds of Facebook groups and forums on homeschooling. If you probably go on Facebook and you look up homeschooling in your area, your town, your county, your state, whatever, you'll come up with a lot of information. That there are, you know, you're homeschooling your kid. You have to report to the school district. I don't know. It varies all over the country. Like in New York, every quarter you have to give in the attendance. After fourth grade, they have to take an assessment test. But you can protect now. Now you can protect your children from learning critical race theory, from having drag queens, you know, men dressed up as women wearing yoga pants, sitting in front of your kids as they're sitting Indian style in front of them. And there's a man in a big pink wig sitting in yoga pants. Yeah, my daughter doesn't need to see that. Okay? my daughter doesn't need to learn victimology and who the oppressor is and who the oppressed is. We learn about slavery in school. We learn about American history in school. We don't need them learning this convoluted bullshit, the 1619 Project or whatever they're calling it, that's made up by a bunch of wannabe intellectuals who wrote a bunch of poems and essays. It's all bullshit. My daughter's going to learn about the Civil War. My daughter's going to learn about how the Confederates, the Democrats fought to keep slavery, and the Northern Democrats became Republicans to fight against slavery. You know, real American history, not what they want to shove down kids' throats now. Why does the federal government want to have 2 free years of pre-K and 2 free years of community college? Government-funded school will come with a government message. So when your kid is going to pre-K and their minds are being molded at that young age, and then they get into grade school and they just keep that indoctrination going, and then they get until they're completely fucked up when they get into college, now they have their new generation of sick, woke leftists. It's like, yeah, it's horrible to say, but let's go back to Nazi Germany. It sounds so cliche, I know, but just hear me out for a second. Hitler wanted to build the perfect race. So what did he do? He had the Hitler Youth. Then I believe he had I forgot what they called them, the girls, the maidens, the Hitler Youth, basically of the female version. They would literally take them away from their parents, and if the parents objected, sometimes those parents would disappear, and they would brainwash those kids because they wanted to teach them at young age, teenagers, preteens, and then get the boys and the girls together to eventually what? To eventually breed them into this perfect race that sicko Adolf Hitler had in his head of what the world should be. So it was like the Nazi breeding program. Okay. So now let's take the sick, woke, infected leftists in America. So now they want government funded pre-K, free pre-K. And then free, not really free, the taxpayers are paying for it, government funded, but free, you're not paying out of pocket, 2 years community college. And then all of that in between, there's a message. Whatever the government message is going to be, that's what the kids are going to be indoctrinated with. And we know what that message is right now. Again, critical race theory. Police are bad. America is bad. If you're white, you're the oppressor. If you're black, you're the oppressed. If you're white, you should denounce yourself and denounce your white privilege that doesn't exist. And if I'm off base, tell me in the comments. Comment, tell me, contact me. If you can prove me wrong on anything I'm saying, I'll own it. I don't mind being owned. Everything I'm saying is true. So is there a comparison to what Hitler was doing in Nazi Germany by trying to breed and the perfect race to have spread across the world as he's taking it over? Is there a comparison to that, to indoctrinating children at such a young age with that government message of America is bad, America is racist, all white people are racist, Republicans and conservatives are bad, in an attempt to completely exterminate conservatism, exterminate the Republican Party, keep the southern border open because they need that voting base, even though they say it's closed. All of those people that don't want to comply with the mandates, we're going to make them unemployed. We're going to make their lives miserable. So now drug use will skyrocket. Poverty will skyrocket. Suicides and mental health issues will skyrocket amongst the people they want out of the way. Then it's okay. One of the biggest healthcare networks, I think the biggest healthcare networks where I am, the Northwell Health Network. They were the North Shore University Hospital, Long Island Jewish. They own everything. They just fired 1,400 employees for not getting the shot. 1,400. That's a huge number. Now, I would imagine a lot of them are going to move to places where they don't have the mandate, because there are a lot of places that out of New York that don't have the mandate. There are states that are have put laws in place, or putting laws in place that are specifically saying that they can't mandate it. So they want to fire Border Patrol agents, possibly, telling them that they have to have the shot by a certain date or they could be out of a job. There are firefighters in California that are losing their job. It's big going on in Beverly Hills and other places. Massachusetts State Police, there's dozens of state troopers that are resigning or if they're eligible to retire, or they're getting jobs in other local municipal police departments that don't require the vax. And I have to be clear. I always have to say this. Otherwise, they're just going to delete every video and every episode. I am not anti-vax. I'm anti-mandate. You want to get it, more power to you, not judging you. You want to wear a mask, more power to you, wear it, not judging you. But don't tell everybody they have to do it. And don't expect people to tell you that they've been vaccinated, because that's nobody's business. That is a violation of just privacy. So the schools, what do you do? I'm to the point where I went to my school board meeting. I got heated. A lot of people did. And what it accomplished? It accomplished absolutely nothing, because they didn't listen. They didn't care. There were 200 people in the room. School board members did not give a shit. They weren't answering questions. They were putting the responses into, we have to see what happens. We were talking to empty suits. And I'm hearing in most districts that it's written in their rules or whatever they go with that they don't have to answer questions. That they'll come back and they'll email parents from their concerns. Where I am, they're not even doing that. Nobody's getting their emails responded to. At least they weren't. So what's the alternative? I don't know. Maybe it's time to start building one room schoolhouses again. I actually saw a post somewhere on social media. I forget what state she was in, and she said that there are community members actually thinking that getting a place and like Little House on the Prairie days. You have your one room schoolhouse. And you teach your kids. You have to protect your kids. You have to stand up for your kids. I don't care what the attorney general says, what federal agency he wants to sic on parents. You cannot be intimidated. If you care that much about what's happening with your children in schools, you cannot be intimidated. I'm to the point where I'm convinced it's useless attending school board meetings, because they have no problem talking to you about budgets and all the money that they want to spend. But when you oppose them, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to answer questions about that. And now you're a threat. So, and it doesn't really... I could see you have kids in high school. Most high school kids don't care. You know, they're older. They want to get through school. They want to go to prom. If they're playing sports, fine. Their heads are in the clouds. You know, guys are chasing girls. Girls are chasing guys. Whatever it is. Okay? You got your whole... You got your hands full with high schoolers. I'm dreading when my kid's in high school. I'm dreading that 13 age. It's going to kill me. Anyway. But you have your elementary school kids, your middle school kids, where I guess I could say they could still be saved. I'm not saying that the high school kids, you know, they're a lost cause or anything. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as far as homeschooling, withdraw your kids. You may, if you care that much, you're willing, you will be willing to live with some sort of inconvenience. If you care that much, if you don't care and you just see the public school as your free public babysitter while you live about your life, and then it is what it is. That's your choice. There are people losing their jobs and willing to give up their jobs. They're making six figures and they're getting fired because they're standing on their feet against getting a shot that's mandated that they don't want to get. Not because it's political. That's their choice. So you know what? Save your kid. Save your kid from the indoctrination. Save your kid from critical race theory. Save your kid from having to be mandated to put a shot in their arm to attend public school, because it's coming. It's coming. There's no way around it. I was one of the people that said, they'll never mandate it. They'll never mandate it. Well, I look like an idiot because they just mandated it in California, and they're good. They're looking to mandate it where I live. I haven't had a flu shot in my life. It's my choice. While I can still make the decision for my child, I'm choosing not to have that shot put in her arm. That's my choice as a parent. When she's old enough to make the choice for herself, then she can do whatever she wants. She could take whatever advice she wants. But I'm not going to co-parent with the government. I'm not going to co-parent with the school. And I sound like a broken record because I tell that to everybody. All the mama bears out there, you shouldn't be co-parenting with anybody. You know, when you're... This has happened a few times, even among family. You know, even you have family or your friends, and you maybe you both have kids, and maybe somebody's kid is a little older than the other, and something happens, and you know, you have to yell at your kid, or if you, God forbid, maybe you have to tell somebody else's kid, hey, don't do that, and then the other parent gets all pissed off, like, don't talk to my kid that way, you know, don't. Tell me how to parent my kid, you know, when you become a mama bear. Like, that's my kid. Back the fuck up. It's my kid. And that's what I want to see happen. I want all the mama bears out there to say, hey, get the hell away from my kid. This is my kid. I'm the parent. I know it's best for my child. There are actual schools out there that are saying that they would report parents to the Child Protective Service agency of that jurisdiction if they sent their kid to school without a mask. Pull your kid from the school. It will affect the schools at some point because they won't get the funding. They count heads. It may not happen right away. They may feel it the following year. But they will feel it. And if enough parents do it, it will cause a significant problem. It will cause a disruption. Another thing, school budgets. I have this argument with people all the time. My school budget, where I am, is this last school budget when it passed was $81 million. The budget didn't pass. Then they had to beg and plead and do a revote where it finally passed. And after they said no one was going to get raises, when it passed, administrators got raises. And the best part is the two elementary schools in my area had like two or three security guards for the schools. And back before COVID, if you had to go to the school, my daughter's school, you had to ring the buzzer. They buzz you in. You go to the desk with the window. You have to give them your driver's license. They give you a visitor pass. That's for anyone, any parent. If you had to pick your kid up from the nurse's office or you had to come into the school for any reason, it was all sealed up. You had to leave your ID, and there were two or three security guards there to make sure everything was going on. So my school district, they failed the budget. Then they begged and pleaded. They got it passed. Then they gave administrators raises, and they cut the security guards at the elementary school from three guards, to one guard. So they said they weren't giving anybody raises. They gave administrators raises, and then they cut security guards at the elementary school. None of it makes sense. So I say, pull your kid out. And I had said it in my community, and I got a lot of backlash from it. But I don't give a shit about the backlash. It's what I live for, I guess. But I said, I'd like to publicly campaign to fail the next school budget. And then I get, oh, but it's going to affect the kids. They're going to cut sports programs. They're not going to be able to buy sports equipment. Which is bullshit because sport equipment doesn't expire. They could use the stuff from the year before. And from what I understand, they wouldn't cut most of the programs. And even if they did, collateral damage. Maybe then people will start to listen. Maybe when all of the school sports are cut and the parents that are pissed off about it realize why, they take a step back and go, I guess we got to start listening. Maybe there needs to be some changes. Because the people control the budget passing or not passing. The people control who sits on the school board. So change the names. Fail the budget. Deal with the inconvenience. Because not only is it, they say it only affects the kids, which is not true at all. It affects projects at the schools ancillary staff or administrative staff. They're going to have to cut jobs. They're going to have to figure it out. And that's where the struggle should be. They're not listening to you as parents. You have to make them struggle. Going to board meetings and screaming your head off, in my opinion, is useless. And everybody's getting their 5 minutes of fame. Every once in a while, a brave mama bear gets a good recording at a school board meeting, and it goes viral, and they end up on Newsmax, or they end up on this TV show, or they end up here. And then what happens? Nothing. They just, you know, they post on Facebook on what they want to see done and what they want to do, but nothing happens because the school boards don't care. And now the next step is the DOJ and the FBI. Well, now you're a domestic terrorist, and we're going to come after you. We're going to put you on a list. And unfortunately, that's going to be enough to quiet a lot of parents. Because when they hear the DOJ and the Attorney General and federal government and FBI, it intimidates people. Law enforcement intimidates people. Not me in the sense that their job is to intimidate people. People are intimidated by those terms. People are intimidated with dealing with law enforcement. They're just regular people. If you did nothing wrong, there's no reason to be intimidated by any type of law enforcement. But again, it's political thuggery. And it's not at the fault of the law enforcement. No, they're now being given their marching orders. No, it's the fault of the Biden regime. It's the fault of the Attorney General. They're the political thugs. And why are they involved in this political thuggery? Well, it comes down to money. It's the lobbyists that are pushing the critical race theory. It's the lobbyists for Big Pharma that are pushing the shots. We'll never know the intricate working of the dark politics, but they run deep. I've talked to plenty of people that are heavily involved in dark politics. I mean, one of the most infamous political strategists, Roger Stone, has been on my show several times, and he knows dark politics through and through. And dark politics are involved in every aspect of politics. Things that you and I could never understand or fathom. Look at January 6th. It's like beating a dead horse. They keep the mainstream media, the propaganda, insurrection, 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 because that's the narrative they want to push. And so much is coming out on that. A federal judge had to release a video, had to order for a 2-minute video to be released of people walking around the Capitol like tourists. One guy's smoking a cigarette. They are walking around with flags. They didn't burn down the place. They weren't destroying everything inside. And I'm not talking about turning over a few desks. I'm talking about there are some things in there that if they were destroyed, would never be able to be replaced. I'm not talking about Nancy Pelosi's podium, okay? I think there was upwards of 500,000 people there on a weekday for that rally. If they truly wanted to take over the government that day and a true insurrection with that many people, they would have won. At least for a short time, they would have won until the military came in and took them all out. They would have won. But nobody did that. Nobody was charged with firearms. There's no firearm charges. They keep that. And there are still mainstream media outlets that are calling it an armed insurrection. Let me ask you this. Well, I want to know, why are these American citizens who are supposed to be presumed innocent, why are they still in jail without bail for these low-level charges? Trespassing. Violent criminals in some places, like in New York, they're released with no bail whatsoever for robbery, attempted rape. There are so many crimes that you could just be released with. You can get arrested 50 times for robbery, violent robberies, and now you will be released without bail every single time. You'll be back home in time for dinner to do it all over again. But these hoopoes that decided to walk around the Capitol were let in, by the way. Were let in. The doors weren't locked. They're all still 600 or whatever it is. They're sitting in jail with no bail. Political prisoners. Political prisoners. Speaking of, why were the doors to the Capitol unlocked? First of all, everyone knew that this rally was happening, and there were going to be that many people in and around the Capitol. They were certifying the election that day. One, why wouldn't security be beefed up anyway? Well, we know why. But why was the Capitol just unlocked? Why was that building not secured like Fort Knox that day? Why did the Capitol Police not fortify that building for that day, knowing there were going to be that many people there? And then when the crowd started gathering around the Capitol, why wouldn't they start securing the emergency procedures to secure the building then? They just stood around. They took barricades away and waved protesters in. they took, the Capitol Police was taking selfies with protesters. The Capitol Police officers walked into the chamber after protesters were in there. That guy, what do they call him? The QAnon shaman with the bullhorn, buffalo horns, whatever that outfit he was wearing with the spear. He was standing up by the speaker's chair, and he walked in, and all he said was, "This is the most sacred place. You know, could just be careful. I guess I can't get you to leave." Why wasn't 30 Capitol Police officers walking in there with their guns drawn, yelling and screaming, ordering them down on the ground? They were allowing them in the building. There was one part where they were giving visitor stickers to protesters. You know, the stickers you put on your chest. "Hi, my name is Joe Blow, a visitor of the Capitol." Handing them the stickers as they're coming in. It's just... So what's happening to all those Capitol Police officers? We heard from those, what was it, 6 or 7 dimwits at the January 6th commission about how, oh, Trump's a racist and they're all bad and I'm going to cry because I thought I was going to die that day. No, you didn't. Stop the bullshit. Oh, boo-hoo, you thought you were going to die. Give me a break. What's happening to the police officers that moved the barricades, that waved the people in, that were talking to the people, that were taking selfies with them? Are they getting fired? Are they getting disciplined? How come nobody's talking about them? What's happening to them? Why did the Capitol Police just nonchalantly walk into the chamber, just engage in informal conversation with the protesters? "Hey, how you doing? Please do me a favor, don't wreck the place." It's again, no charges of insurrection. No firearms charges. We're living in bizarro world, people. It's bizarro world. And you know what else is bizarre, too? You have this phenomenon that's going on, that's being talked about, this hashtag FJB. You know, the chants at college school football games, major league football, professional football games, and other NASCAR, the "fuck Joe Biden" chant that's really taking on steam. I'm really surprised at it, how popular it's become at colleges. Colleges are supposed to be, you know, the young liberals. And it's being chanted over and over and over. And the best part is Joe Biden was questioned about it. He was I forget where he was speaking, maybe Michigan recently. And he was, I think he was asked about that. And he was asked about, his welcoming of hundreds of Trump supporters where he was. Nobody was there really with Biden signs saying, "Yay, Joe Biden, we love him as our president." All these Trump supporters. And his answer was, "Well, 81 million people voted for me." Is that your answer? 81 million votes. I wonder how many were dead. They haven't figured that out yet. Anyway. So the "fuck Joe Biden" chant. And the media is spinning that, the NASCAR race, that driver Brandon Brown was being interviewed by that NBC reporter as Kelly Stavast. And you can hear in the background, they were blatantly saying "fuck Joe Biden" over and over. She chuckled, and then she says, "Brandon, listen to the crowd. Go, Brandon." And he knew, and she knew. And that just goes to show you again, the mainstream media lying and then getting praised for lying and deceiving the American people, because that's all the media does. They lie, and they pat each other on the back for lying. It's really just sick and bizarre. Now we have the federal government saying that teachers, parents, who care about their kids are domestic terrorists for speaking up at board meetings. I mean, it's just this is Biden's America. and the media is all complicit in it. I'm a domestic terrorist for just disagreeing with everything that they're saying. And yeah, the media lies, and there's no accountability. There's no accountability at all. There's no shame. And this is where I turn around to everybody and I say, you have to question everything. You have to question everything. Wherever you get your news from, whether it's left-leaning, right-leaning, whatever it is, there's so much information out there and research you can do. You have to question everything. And it's scary times. It's scary times. Are we about to enter? And this is. I sound like I should have a tinfoil hat on when I say this. Are we going into a place where there's a possibility we may enter into World War III? You know, and that's just one of those terms, like, hey, we're going to start World War III that we joke about. Well, we had World War I, we had World War II. I'm talking about this craziness going on with China. China's flying 150 or so warplanes into Taiwan in the matter of days. Taiwan is turning around saying we're ready for war. We're preparing for war. We'll fight to the end. Now Japan's getting involved with Taiwan. Maybe, you know, with defending Taiwan. You know, Taiwan is like it's a free society. China doesn't like that. China doesn't want them as a free nation. They think that they own Taiwan. They're going to intimidate them, or the Taiwan's asking Australia for help. Now, I asked this question to a couple of people. Maybe you have an opinion. Tell me in the comments. Is China just peacocking, I guess you can call it, and testing the United States and the Biden regime because they know Biden is weak? Obviously, there's some issues with the Biden crime family and China, you know, 10% to the big guy and Hunter and all that. But is it just meaningless just to see what our stance would be, what our response is? So I can tell you right now, if the big orange boogeyman was in office, I don't think this would be happening. And if it did happen, Donald Trump would have something to say about it, and he would be very stern, I would imagine, to China and say, you better cut your shit out. Joe Biden, not so much. I don't know. And if, God forbid, something happens, even if it's one of those, hey, they're flying planes and a pilot does something stupid and it sparks something that just... Where are we going to stand? What is our government going to do? How is the United States going to be involved? Because make no mistake, if there's an issue between China and Taiwan and Japan's involved and also, there's an obligation to this country. We have to take, we're going to have to stand somewhere. And it's something I don't even want to think about. It's crazy times. It's an amazing time to be alive of what's going on. I mean, we literally have government members of our federal government, elected officials that want to see freedoms disappear, completely disappear. And don't tell me that's not true, because it is true. We have elected officials that, you know, domestic. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, to me, they're domestic terrorists too, I guess. Democrat socialists. They want to see socialism. They want to see communism. And a lot of young people are attracted to it. And they think they know why. It's just, again, with the schools, people, pull your kids, get them in homeschool co-ops, do some research. There is amazing stuff going on. I did it. I was closed-minded to it. I was one of those people like, oh, homeschooled kids are weird. No, there are so many things. You want to talk about socializing? I mean, they're doing swimming classes, when kids are old enough, they have people out there who are firearms instructors who are doing firearms classes with these kids. Life skills. They're learning. They're learning. They're not going to school and being indoctrinated and taught to you. This is what you believe. This is what you say. You are bad. You are racist. You're oppressed. You're the oppressor. None of that bullshit. It is amazing. And you know what else is amazing? Is our fucking freedom. You know, we live in the greatest country on the face of the planet. There's no doubt about it. And freedom is what makes America the greatest nation in the world. You know, there are people in this country that literally want to take our freedoms away and force us to live under a tyrannical, power-hungry government. And if we give up any of our freedoms, any of our freedoms, we will never, ever get them back. You know, this is America, the United States of America, the land of the free. And we cannot allow the evil that's among us take away our liberties. And it's no longer a fight, a battle between left and right or Republicans and Democrats. It's a war now between good and evil. It sounds dark, but it's true. You know, as free Americans, we mustn't allow the hate that's promoted by, you know, bureaucrats, politicians, and mainstream media propaganda divide us from being that one free American society that we are and that we love. We have to push back. We have to fight like hell at all costs to protect our freedoms. Our children and our children's children, they deserve that from us. You know, I always say good will always win. And if we stand up and fight, then freedom will always ring. It sounds like a ridiculous cliche, but it's true. We just have to stand up and protect it. And again, it comes down to, you know, we the people. We the people are the government. The government is not we the people. We can change the government. And there are amendments in place in the United States Constitution that allow us to hold government accountable and to protect ourselves from a tyrannical government. I will never, ever, ever endorse or condone violence. There are ways to do things. There are smart ways to do things. With the schools, there are smart ways to do things. Put yourself on notice that they want us gone. They want us either locked up. They want us unemployed. They want us just weak, where we cannot retain power. And remember with the elections, we have to break the system in 2020. We have to make it harder for people to cheat. We have to get out there. We have to vote. We have to get out there and get people registered to vote. It's important. And there are people out there doing that work. There are people out there that are taking the time and working so hard getting people registered to vote Republican. They're getting Democrats to flip as Republican. 81 million people voted for Joe Biden, but I don't ever remember hearing a fuck Donald Trump chant. And I can't, I still can't see any of these Biden welcoming parties when he travels. All I see is Trump supporters. All I see is American flags and signs saying, we don't want you here, Joe Biden. I mean, it's crazy times. With that, I'm going to leave it there. Get over and check out the episodes. Again, thegreatdivide1776.com. Please like, share, subscribe. Help me beat, I keep saying it, the conservative hating algorithms. It's a real thing. Apple Podcasts, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, take the extra few seconds, leave a 5-star review. There are people on there that are purposely leaving me 1-star reviews, calling me white supremacists and all the other great names they call conservatives. So help me out with that. Help me get the word out. We want to preserve conservatism and freedom and our love for it. So until then, till next time, I'll see you all soon. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.